Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, whether there are few or many, just one of us praying is such a blessing and such a powerful weapon that you've given us. And we just marvel at you, and we want to bow down and worship you. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go to prayer, we just want to look at one of the prayers in the Bible this morning, and this is one of the first prayers in the Bible. This is regarding Abraham and his conversation with God, and it's found in Genesis chapter 15. Very familiar passage, I'm sure you're all pretty aware of it. And this is the fourth time that God has appeared to Abraham that we have recorded in the scripture. And it follows Lot's captivity and rescue. And you know the story when there were these four strong kings from the east, Shadol, Laomer, and three other kings with him, that came back to put down a rebellion by five kings around the Sea of Galilee area, down in by Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Shadol, Laomer, and the three other kings, they captured everything down there, and they took everything from Sodom with them, including Lot and his family. And you know that Abraham, then when was told this, he took 318 of his servants, and they pursued them on into Damascus and surprised them by night, and God delivered these four kings and their armies into Abram's hand with only 318 servants. I mean, amazing miracle, right? Abraham comes back. He was still Abram at that point. Abram comes back. He's met by Melchizedek, this strange character, which we read more about later. And he was given a tithe, and I think he was just really glorying in God's grace and victory. When he got to the king of Sodom met him, and so, of course, grateful, because here's Abraham bringing all the stuff back that had been taken. And so Sodom, king of Sodom, offered him the bounty, the booty, the stuff that he had gotten. And Abraham made this bold statement: "I won't even take a latch from you. Won't even take a sandal from you, because I want to rely on the Lord." Well, now we go into verse 1 of chapter 15, and it says, "After these things." So it's after what things? It's after those things of this great victory and his coming back and refusing the spoil and giving it all to the king of Sodom. But we can see several things about what's going on in Abraham right now. Or Abram. I keep calling him Abraham, but forgive me. Anyway, you know who he is. Because the first thing we see is that he's afraid. Because God, first thing he says to him, "Do not be afraid." Then God promises him why. Why shouldn't you be afraid? He says what? "I am your shield. I am your shield." And we'll talk quite a bit about that in our few comments this morning. And then secondarily, your exceedingly great reward. So what does that tell me? It tells me that Abraham is having second thoughts about this whole situation. And how many times have you been used, maybe not to this extent, but been used by the Lord, and it really soared to the heights of being used by him, by the power of the Spirit working, and you're just euphoric, really, with the whole situation. But what happens when you come down from the mountaintop? You always get crushed, don't you? See how Elijah got crushed and how he ran for his life after that great victory at Mount Carmel. And so here, Abram apparently is afraid. Why is he afraid? Well, he is just with a few of his servants done in four kings and four armies. He should be afraid. Shadol Laomer was not he's a dictator. He's not a nice guy. Do you think he was happy with being ambushed and defeated by a handful of guys? The normal reaction, of course, would be to turn around and come out and wipe out that little pipsqueak who ever ran me over, right? And I'm sure that's what Abram's going through. Also, possibly, he's sitting in that drafty old tent of his. I don't know how old it was, but this tent with the sand blowing through, and he is remembering all the riches of Sodom that he could have had, and he didn't have any of them. And possibly, this is my subjection, there's nothing in the scripture about this. You know, maybe Sarah said, hey, Abram, you know, I thought you were a really pretty smart husband, but I'm not so sure now, you know. We had all of this in our hands, and you just wouldn't take any of it. And now, you know, we're probably going to get overrun by this guy. And you really didn't think this through when you took off to go get Lot. And I'm not sure any of that was happening. But at any rate, we see, do not be afraid. And what does that mean to us? Well, the question I would have, are you ever fearful? Since you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever really been fearful? I think so. Psalm 91 is talking specifically about the believers, and it says, in your day of trouble. So we have trouble, don't we? And another place it says, do not fear. All and on through the scriptures, do not fear. So fear is a very real thing that you and I encounter. Well, what do we do about it? Well, in this case, The word of the Lord came to Abram. There's four statements here this morning in these few verses. It's the first use in the scriptures. Of course, Genesis is the first book in the Bible, so we have Genesis filled with the first use, but the first use is always an important use. And so the first thing we see here in this is the word of the Lord came. That has never been used before. And here God is speaking somehow, some way to Abram. We don't know if it's orally or whatever, you know, we didn't really have the Bible at that point, he didn't have that, but the word of the Lord came to him. And we have, that's the first use here. So the word of the Lord came, and then second use is do not be afraid. That hasn't been used before, and we know, we just mentioned that, why he would be afraid. And then the third one, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. That has never been used before. But as you are afraid, are you looking to the Lord who is your shield? Is the Lord strong enough to be your shield, or is he just kind of weak and you have to really worry this thing through because he may not protect you? What do you think? You say, oh, I know he's strong enough. He will protect me. He has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, really? Well, then why am I worrying? Why am I so afraid? Why do I keep, you know, I get over it, I kneel and come to him, and I put it in his hands, and I feel a little bit better. And then what happens? You wake up in the middle of the night, and you take it back again, right? Or whenever, right? Has that ever happened? But he is your shield. He is your shield, as he told Abram. And then, particularly you guys, have you ever had any concern about money? Have you ever thought about where the money's going to come from to pay your bills? Or if you're fortunate enough to have money to pay your bills, have you ever thought about maybe the money's not going to come next month? Maybe the money's not going to come next year? And maybe you've just decided to increase your cost by buying a house or whatever, and all of a sudden you wonder, wow, how am I ever going to pay that every month? Has that ever happened to you? Not just men, but it happens to all of us, I think. But is he not our exceedingly great reward, and is his gift to us far greater than any possible material possession? And when we compare what the world has to offer, you know, with its new Mercedes or BMWs or whatever you want to look at, how does that compare with the riches that the Lord has for us? So he is our shield, he is our protector, he is our exceedingly great reward, is he not? He said that to Abram, and he says that to us. Now, oftentimes when we look at these great men in the Bible or great women in the Bible and we see their faith, don't you feel like a little shrimp often with the shabby little faith? And you don't, I mean, my faith is so small it doesn't even show on this faith Richter scale. And here Abraham way up here. How can that be? Well, I'm not so sure that Abraham's faith was way up there. Because look what happens here as we see this unfold here. Right away, as Abram is reassured, don't be afraid, I'm your exceedingly great reward, what does he do? He said, well, what about a son? 10 years ago you said I'd have a son, and I don't have a son. I don't even have anybody to inherit my estate other than Eliezer. He was the firstborn in my house. He's not even mine. And so now the Lord does a very unique thing here, it seems to me. after he tells him that the son is not going to be Eleazar, not going to be someone born in your house, it's going to be born from your body, it's going to be your heir. And so the example he uses now, he takes him outside at night. And when we're in Los Angeles, we can hardly see the brightest stars, but all of you have been out of the city on occasion. And if you're really in a dark, dark place where there's no light pollution, you just stand in awe when you look at the stars, don't you? I mean, it's just amazing. And so God doesn't say, Abraham, if you had some faith, you'd believe me when I told you you're going to have a son. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, what's wrong with you? Why don't you believe? But he gives him a very practical exercise here. He takes him out, and what does he do? He says, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to count them. You know, when we look at the stars at night on a bright night, if that doesn't inspire an awesomeness of the Creator, I don't know what will. I mean, it is just so unbelievable. So here you're looking at the stars. Now, I've got enough faith to look at the stars, right? I mean, that didn't take too much faith, does it? Just look at the stars. And now what does God say to him? Count them if you're able and number them. Well, there are a lot of them out there. I can't number them. There's so many out there. And then God says, so shall your descendants be. So now in that moment, when he's looking at all these stars and God is telling him, so shall your descendants be, he believes God. Now, in a way, that's awesome to have that faith to believe. But in another way, at that moment, I could almost believe that. I think if I looked in all those stars and God says, so shall your descendants be, I believe the stars are there, right? I believe he made the stars. And if he tells me something like that, and I'm looking at that, I could say, yeah. Now, there'll be other times in Abraham's life when he wasn't so faithful. He goes to Egypt where he wasn't supposed to go because of the famine, and he lies about his wife Sarah. So, I mean, he's not this guy who just goes through life with this superhuman faith, and you and I are, you know, struggling down here to even have a little faith, right? And say Stephen, the guy who was martyred in the book of Acts, I believe that the faith he had was given to him by the Spirit. I don't think he was just a supernaturally faithful guy. I think he was given the faith by the Spirit. And God will give you the faith necessary. But when he tells you to go out and look at the stars, then you got to go out and look at the stars, right? You say, oh, no, Lord, I believe I don't have to look at the stars. No, you go out and look at the stars. Otherwise, you won't have the faith to believe what he's asking you to believe. So where does this all lead down to? Finally, and for all of us, as you're looking at your circumstances today, there's some of those that are probably causing you concern. There's some that are probably causing you fear, possibly, or they're certainly causing you concern, maybe financially or maybe relationship or whatever, maybe physical. And your ability to put it in God's hands and trust him for the outcome is an indication of the faith that we all need to live a victorious Christian life. Because there's no difference in a sense, I don't think, in your saying, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, therefore I'm saved. That takes a lot of faith, really, doesn't it? But God gives you that faith. Has he not given each of us that faith? Will he not also then give us the faith to trust him for whatever you're going through, that he's going to see you through? Because what you're going through is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through, right? And so can we put these problems in his hands and leave them there? Or do we think we've got to take them back and go over it again? And so when tonight, if you have these things and you wake up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever it is, and you say, oh, I'm just so worried, give it back to him again and just praise him. Don't go through your 47 analyses to try to figure out the 47th way of getting out of this mess you're in. Just give it to him and trust him. Give it to him and trust him. Can you do that? Are you able to do that? Well, it's hard, but I think that's part of his increasing our faith. We call it sanctified. We get more like him as we go through our daily walk, and we're learning, in effect, over time, in most cases, to surrender and leave it in his hands. And to the extent you can do that, is an indication of how much peace you're going to have, how much confidence you're going to have in him, and he will open things up for you to do, which requires even greater faith. But if you're still always on in the kindergarten down here, just worrying all your way through life, never trusting him for anything, you'll stay in kindergarten faith-wise, I believe. And I know some people, and you do too. Every time you see them, they're still in kindergarten faith-wise, aren't they? I mean, they're all beaten down. They've never had a victory since the day they received Christ. And, you know, they're just, and they're not the kind of witness that you want. I mean, do I want a Savior who leaves me all beaten down all my life? I don't think so. I don't think that's from the Lord at all. I think they're just, and I'm not being critical of any one person, I'm just, even myself. We don't want to stay in kindergarten, or preschool is more like it for me, but we don't want to stay there. We want to grow as he has promised to transform us from his glory to our glory into the same image of Christ, what just as by the Holy Spirit. So listen to the Spirit speaking to you. Surrender to him. Get the sin out of your life, because that grieves the Spirit, that quenches the power, that resists the Spirit, and trust him. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for this clear teaching in your word that the basis of our Christian faith here is really found in Abraham believing in you, and it was accounted to him for righteousness way long before he was ever circumcised, way before ever relying on some of the other things that we read later. But here he just believed, as you told him he would have children as the stars in the sky, and he's looking at those stars and he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Lord, help our faith. Help us to believe. Help us to believe you because of your word. Your word is true. If we see it in your word, it's true and it's going to happen. And so, Lord, when you say you're coming second time, we know you're coming and we believe you're coming soon. And whether you come for the church before we take our last breath, the destination is the same, one at a time or all at once. And so, Lord, here we are. You've left us here for a reason, and may we now pray today, the reason we're here, to intercede, to make our supplications, maybe some praise reports, I don't know, but just guide us now in this time of prayer as we use this time